From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. If you are unemployed right now, raise your hand and try to imagine all the hands in the air all across California, then farther into the country. California's Governor Gavin Newsom said last week he is expecting the number in the state to go higher.
Some 4.6 million of you have filed for unemployment claims just since March 12th. We are at a time that's simply unprecedented. And when I mean unprecedented, we talk in terms of that Great Recession. That Great Recession, we had unemployment that peaked at 12.3% in the third quarter in 2010. Some 2.2 million people were out of work. I'll go back to what I just said. 4.6 million Californians just since March 12th have filed for unemployment insurance claims or assistance under our PUA program. 2.2, the peak in 2010. Now 4.6 million filing claims so far just since March. We are projecting in our documents we're putting out today in our May revise of that January budget that unemployment will peak north of 24.5%. One could argue we're already there.
So filing for unemployment benefits can be maddening, even though that's what so many of us are told to do if we're in the situation. I actually tried to work through the quarterly numbers yesterday with my daughter, and we still have no idea why we kept getting red error messages. But figuring out whether you even qualify for benefits is the first hurdle. Jennifer Shaw is back with us today. She is the president of Shaw Law Group. She is an expert in employment law. And Jennifer, we did not have enough time last time for all the questions, so we're going to get to more of them today. Thanks for giving us more of your time.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. It's always great to be on.
Can I ask first, what's changed with the EDD, the Employment Development Department, and its process during this COVID time since we talked 3.5 weeks ago?
Well, what has really changed, I think, is they are working very hard to try to ensure that everyone can access the system. And the truth of the matter is, Beth, just as the governor, as we just heard the governor say, this is unprecedented. The EDD was really doing their best, but I think in the last 3.5 weeks, they've been able to step it up a little bit more. I'm hearing anecdotally more people are getting approved. Unfortunately, I'm also hearing people having the experience that you and your daughter had yesterday.
Well, let's start with who qualifies for benefits. First, under the full-time umbrella, if you're a full-time worker, what makes you qualified?
Well, and let's actually clarify that, Beth, because it's not just full-time. You could also be part-time. I think the way to think about this is if you're a regular worker, right? You go to work on a regular schedule. You're treated as an employee. You are eligible for unemployment if you lose hours or wages, if you're laid off permanently or temporarily, if there's a reduction in force where your job is eliminated. So there are a lot of different ways. The way that I think for us to think about it most simply is you're employed and then you are not employed. You're either underemployed where you're losing money or hours, or you don't have a job anymore. You are definitely eligible to apply for unemployment at that point.
You might be a regular worker, though, and not have regular hours per week, which is one of the questions that you're asked as you begin to fill out the form.
Yes.
So how do you resolve that?
So the way this works is the system understands that there are lots of folks who don't have, as you just said, a regular schedule. So what you do is you put in your schedule for the last X period of weeks. It's usually 12 weeks. One of the things that's so maddening about the system is that it's very case by case, so it depends on how many quarters you've worked, what wages you've earned, in terms of what information they're going to want from you. So what you do, and what I've been telling everyone, is you just have to act in good faith. You make your best estimate. If they're asking for an average, that's often the screen that will come up. Then you look back over the last 3 months and you give them an average. So long as you're making a good faith estimate, there's nothing to worry about in terms of providing information that later may need to be tweaked a bit.
Sometimes you're given a list of previous employers, ways that you've already been in the system as an employee, and you choose one. Are people able to apply for benefits for, say, they have two employers, two different jobs?
Yes, they are. And what the EDD does is they allocate the amount of the unemployment benefit to each of the employer's what's called reserve accounts, the accounts that the employers have with the EDD. Now, it may very well be that you have two employers, but only one employer is going to pay the benefit because that's the only employer that is covered, where you earned enough money over a certain period of time to have money come out of that employer's reserve account. So sometimes your most recent job is not the position that will pay for the unemployment. It's a prior job. But if you have two jobs concurrently, it's very possible that they will both be contributing to the benefit.
And does that mean you file twice, one for each position, each employer?
No, you usually do not have to do that because the way this works is you are looking at how much income you have lost. And because there's a limit in California for how much benefits you can actually receive, you don't generally have to file two claims. Now, there is a question on the online program where it will ask if you have another job. And then when you provide that information, the EDD will sometimes follow up to get that additional information. But you generally do not have to file two claims.
When you file for state benefits, are you automatically filing in that gesture for federal benefits?
Yes, and that is great news because as I'm sure most of your listeners know, under federal law, there is there's an additional unemployment insurance benefit of $600 per week for anyone who receives even $1 of California state unemployment. So when they apply to the EDD, they're applying for the federal benefit. The problem, of course, is we have the federal law dictating what the state has to do, and this has created some additional confusion and just technological glitches in terms of making sure that those payments are getting out. But yes, when you apply on the California EDD's site, you are also applying for the federal benefit.
What happens if you have begun to get your state benefits, but you're not receiving that additional federal benefit? Is there simply a lag, or might there have been a problem?
There's usually just a lag because once you're eligible for the state benefit, just $1, you're going to get the federal benefit. What has happened is the EDD has to do a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure the processing is going the way it needs to go. So what that means is many folks have been approved for the state benefit, but they're not yet getting the federal benefit. Keep in mind, really important, the folks who are eligible for those benefits are going to get them retroactively. Now, I realize that doesn't help when you need the money right now, but you're not losing the benefit. The payment will just come later.
And there are some questions about reports of money running out, relief programs running out. The money was gone in 24 hours or in 3 weeks. How does this or does it not apply to unemployment benefits?
That's a really good question. The good news is it doesn't. Clearly, the state legislature has to deal with the budget issues, but the federal government is also considering additional legislation to help states with the unemployment insurance benefits. But it's not like the Paycheck Protection Program, where if you were a small business and you applied for the loan, you were told, many of you were told, you're too late. So that is not going to happen with unemployment.
I'm talking with Jennifer Shaw. She's an employment law expert and president of the Shaw Law Group. We're going to get through a number of questions today, but if we don't get to yours and you have more, you can join Jennifer again this afternoon. She'll be in a Facebook Live chat with Cap Radio's Chris Nichols. That's at 2 o'clock, and you can find it on Cap Radio's Facebook page. All right, let's get to gig workers and a filing opportunity that was going to open a few days after our last conversation. That happened on April 28th. How did it go, and what do gig workers need to know?
Well, it went fairly well, not a lot better than the regular process, but it went pretty well. Gig workers, remember, it's important for everyone to know, we're talking about folks who are self-employed, who own their own business, and independent contractors. Those individuals generally are not eligible to apply for the regular unemployment. But there is what we call pandemic unemployment assistance under the Families First Law, which was passed by Congress back in March. So those benefits started flowing, or the applications started flowing on April 28th. I have heard anecdotally that some folks are getting their benefits. One of the things that is happening is the EDD is not incredibly clear about the documentation that is needed for the benefits. So some folks are getting letters from the EDD asking for additional information. I know that's really frustrating, but this is the first time this has really happened to this extent. So the EDD is really doing the best they can. What I tell folks is, if the EDD emails you, they send you a letter, reply right away. You've got to be on this. It's really important that you don't let the ball drop. So if you get an email, if you get a letter, immediately do what you need to do to get the information that the agency needs so they can process your claim.
Are there still benefits for part-time workers? I know we talked about part-time workers, but I am hearing some people say, no, those benefits are done.
Yeah, those benefits are not done. There are benefits for part-time workers. I think what people might be confusing is you have to look at what your income loss is and how long the part-time worker has been employed to determine what the benefit is. And sometimes a part-time worker has been employed for such a short time, they aren't going to be eligible for benefits. But that's not because they're a part-time worker. That's because they just haven't been in the system.
Okay, and what is that timetable? Do you know how long you need
Yes.
to? Okay.
Yeah, so generally it's the last three quarters, not for one particular employer, but just in the system, and it doesn't have to be consecutive. So the good news is you might have worked for one employer a year ago, and then you work for another employer 3 months later. That time period is generally going to be what the EDD looks at. Now, I will tell you, and this is what drives people crazy, there are exceptions to that sort of calculation, and a lot of it depends on how much money the part-time worker made. Sometimes part-time workers make a very high hourly rate, and then that is going to have a very significant impact on what the benefits are. Remember, in California, the maximum benefit is $450 a week. But now that we're adding the $600 from the federal program, it's going to be more. You probably also, many of your listeners have probably also heard that Congress is considering extending the $600 benefit for several additional months. It's not clear how that's going to be worked out, but there is at least movement to make that happen because clearly, this problem isn't getting better. It's getting worse at this point in terms of unemployment.
So let's review the number of weeks that the California benefit continues for once you've qualified and how many weeks that federal benefit is added on.
So right now, the federal benefit is going to be through the end of July. They are looking at extending that further. For the California benefit, it's interesting. It's generally going to be 26 weeks, but it's been extended, and for many employees, they're actually going to be able to get that for 12 months. Now, the EDD and the California legislature are also looking at expanding those amounts. So the idea is that unemployment is supposed to be a safety net. It's supposed to be something that we can use when somebody wants to work and they can't find a job. Because unemployment is just at these incredible levels, all of the government agencies are doing what they can to try to figure out how to extend these benefits. So there's going to be a lot of information coming out in the coming weeks about how long the benefits can last and how much the benefit will be.
And just to review, the governor made reference to PUA. You did too. It is, again, the pandemic unemployment assistance that the state of California is offering, correct?
Well, it's actually a little different. What it is the PUA is the provision in the Families First Law that Congress passed.
Okay.
Now, we've adopted that term, but that's where the $600 comes from. And that's also where the states are getting a lot of additional support from the federal government so that the program stays solvent. So all of these things are sort of intertwined at this point.
Okay, a couple more questions from listeners. I'm not sure this is in your arena, Jennifer, but someone asked, what happens when an employer wants an employee to come back? You know, we're in that transition right now, to come back to work in an environment that is impossible to keep a social distance. So the circumstances aren't good. Does that allow for staying out of work and filing for unemployment?
It very well might. One of the things that the governor made clear with the Resilience Roadmap, which is the document that they've created to help all employers figure out what they need to do in the workplace to bring people back safely. They recognize that if someone can't be brought back safely, that may be a grounds for unemployment. What folks need to understand, though, is if there is just a generalized fear of the virus, which, of course, is very understandable, that is not going to be a legitimate reason not to return to work. So if your employer is doing everything they're supposed to be doing to comply with the roadmap, but you still just don't feel comfortable, then you may not be eligible for unemployment. So that's something for folks to think about. It's like I said, it's very understandable. We're all nervous about this virus, of course, but we do have to realize that the unemployment won't be available if you're offered a job that is safe and you refuse to return to work for a reason that is not protected by law. You don't have COVID. You're not caring for someone who has COVID, that sort of thing.
Another listener question. I have been on disability since last June. Do I qualify for unemployment insurance?
Likely no. The reason for that is the state has several of these safety net programs. The disability program is for folks who cannot work. So because they can't work, they get the state disability insurance benefit. Unemployment is for people who can work but can't get a job. So most of the folks, if you've been on disability and you have not been released to return to work, you're not going to be eligible for those unemployment benefits.
Okay, here's another one. I applied for regular unemployment and received a claim number. Is this going to upset my application for the PUA?
No, that's working exactly the way it should be. They got a claim number, and I wish this were better explained on the EDD's website, but that's actually going exactly the way it should, and that person will then receive the additional $600 once it's processed.
Okay. I am a writer who's an independent contractor, the listener wrote. My primary client cut my fee by 20% as of April 1st. Am I eligible for unemployment assistance?
Potentially. If the reason the fee was cut was COVID-19 related, then there may be grounds for getting unemployment. Here's the thing that people need to understand. Even with a 20% reduction in the fee, if the person is still making enough money, they may not qualify for unemployment. In other words, there's a maximum salary, and it's going to vary, unfortunately, depending on the individual, but there's a maximum salary that the EDD is going to look at to decide if they're eligible for benefits. So even with that pay cut, it may not be that they're going to meet the requirements for unemployment.
All right, Jennifer, we have plowed through a lot of information today, as always, and I hope we've answered groups of questions that people might have. Is there any final thought you have for us on this today?
Well, the only thing that I really want your listeners to think about is I know this is a tough time, and I know this unemployment process is so frustrating. I just want to encourage everyone to take a deep breath, apply. If you haven't heard, reapply, get online, pay attention to what's going on. This really is a situation where we can't sit back and wait for things to just happen. We're going to have to sometimes be a little more proactive, and I know that's difficult when we all have lots of other things on our mind, but it's really important.
All right, Jennifer, thank you as always for your time and your expertise. It's just great to have you back on Insight again. Take care.
Thank you, Beth. You too.
That's Jennifer Shaw, president of Shaw Law Group. But remember, she will be answering more questions about unemployment and COVID-19 in a Facebook Live chat with Chris Nichols this afternoon. It's at 2 o'clock, and you can find it on Cap Radio's Facebook page. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. Up next, the award-winning writer-editor John Freeman will join us from New York. But I hope his dad here in Sacramento is settled in with a cup of coffee and ready to listen. Thank you.